went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
I'm reading from Luke 2, verses 1 to 20. Oh, 8 to 20, sorry. The shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom favour his rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Oh. from Matthew chapter 2 and the verse 12 verses. The wise men are led to by star to Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least of among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the wise men secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with its mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
John explains the great mystery of the Incarnation. John 1, reading from verse 1 to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
That's Grandma, that is. I'm Granddad. It's so lovely to see you here this evening. May I just say to you, Happy Christmas. And may it be a Christmas that brings you great peace and great joy in whatever way, even if you can't imagine it yet. The readings we've heard tonight were from Mark and Luke and John and Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament. And each one tells a different part of the story. And sometimes people say, well, why doesn't one book tell the whole story? Why doesn't Matthew talk about shepherds, and why doesn't Luke talk about the magi or the wise men or the astrologers from far away? And the reason lying behind that is that each book was written with a different set of people in mind when it was originally written. One of the things to trust about those original books is they are the most authenticated and reliable ancient books of history ever written. By far more copies of those books, of those early books, are available now to be seen and read in part and in full than any other ancient literature. And they are earlier than any other ancient literature as well. So historians have a huge amount of confidence in those books. But there are other little things that give people confidence about those stories. See, Luke was written with the people in mind who were the most disadvantaged in the community. The people who were rejected most in the community. So I don't know who you would call that to be now. I think in some cases, if you looked at some newspapers today, you would go, well, anybody who came to Britain on a small boat might be thought of in those terms. But others might be thinking of them people who in some way have very bad habits in life and aren't, you know, we just wouldn't really want to sit next to them on the bus, you know, those type of people. However way it was classified, that was the people that Luke was writing to. So why did he include the shepherds? Because they were the people in that society at that time who were least trusted, least respected, and smelt the worst. And so Luke wanted to show very clearly, as God wanted to show through what happened, that Jesus came for them and that God purposed that Jesus came for them. Matthew, of course, wrote to the Jewish people, to people who were of Israel And so what did he include? He included wise men who worshipped other gods, who came from distant lands, who were to be rejected and scorned because they did not worship Yahweh. And so Matthew included the article there. And when those wise men came, it was probable not, frankly, to a baby in a crib. It was probable to a boy about the age here of Barnaby. Probably more like a two-year-old than a few weeks old at the time. And that's why, of course, Herod, later in the story, wanted to kill all children under two, because he wanted a catch-all thing of making sure he included the right one that was in there. But that message is one that whoever you are, wherever you come from, whatever your personal history, whatever guilt you carry with you, need you have, inadequacy you have, or however proud you are, or rich you are, or grand you are, or clever you are, God came in the form of a baby first, so that we might know God. And so John, in that last reading, included those early words. The first words he wanted to get on the paper was, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, this is the promise, he gave the right to become children of God." And Christmas brings us that right. We aren't automatically a child of God. We are the creation of God automatically. But we have the privilege to be called to be a child of God through trusting in the child who was born that first Christmas day. Let's say a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you that you have loved all humanity so much that you came in the form of a person at the most innocent and vulnerable as a baby boy. And this baby boy grew up to be the man of great wisdom and righteousness and the only person who was able to bear the judgment of God on behalf of all others. May this Christmas, Lord, be a time when others will trust in you as John has urged us to do so. Amen. We finish with our final carol. Thank you. And now, in the words of the Apostle Paul, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. I hope you really enjoyed it. And we have heated mince pie specially to get you in that Christmas spirit. And we've got coffee and tea and some hot mulled juice, I'm afraid, not red wine. I'm so terribly sorry about that. But whatever you like, please stop, have a chat, enjoy, and happy Christmas to everybody. Thank you.